So on day one, Ellen and Leonard are ahead $310,000. Each month, they must share the cash flow with their investors, who get 50% of it. The total average net positive cash flow after all expense and mortgage payments is about $12,700 per month. Ellen and Leonard get $6,350 per month, or $76,200 per year. What a country! They project that this property will be a 5-year hold. Why sell? At current trends, they project the resale price to be $6,000. That works out to a gross profit of $1,900,000. The Spaldings' half will amount to $850,000, on top of around $381,000 in cash flow while they waited those 5 years. So the first deal they did should be worth more than $1,231,000 in gross profits. Ellen and Leonard have figured out they don't have to do a whole lot of these deals to retire. I'll say it again. If you will do for 3 to 5 years what most people won't do, you'll be able to do for the rest of your life what most people can't do. More myths about apartment investing. Myth number one, start with single-family properties. First, one of the myths that I hear over and over again is you should invest in single-family properties before you can start investing in multifamilies. That's simply not true. The people who perpetuate those myths must be selling courses on single-family investing, or else they are badly informed. They think a bigger-sized property means more risk. Here's why that is not necessarily true. If you have a single-family property and lose your tenant, you've lost 100% of your income. The second piece of bad news is that it typically takes 2 to 3 months to get a new tenant into a property. That's 2 or 3 months where you are paying the mortgage out of your own pocket. Add that to your own house mortgage or monthly rent. Ouch, that's going to hurt. What if you must evict your tenant out of your single-family house? Depending on which state you are in, that tenant could live in your property for another 1 to 6 months, and maybe longer. Add that on to the 2 to 3 months that it takes to get the next tenant in, and you're going to be really hurting. With an apartment building, you've at least got other tenants paying while your property manager is working to fill the vacancies. If you have one empty unit in a 3-unit building, you may not have any cash flow for that month, but you're probably covering your expenses and mortgage. If you have a 10-unit building and a couple of tenants decide to leave, not only will the other 8 make the mortgage payment, but you'll still have some cash flow that you can spend or reinvest in other properties. Here's an odd rule of thumb for you. Your apartment buildings should never be more than 95% occupied. Why? Because if they're 100% occupied, you might very well be charging rents that are too low. But at 95%, you're getting the maximum level of rents on pretty much the maximum number of units. Naturally, this logic applies only to properties with lots of units. A 3-unit property would not fit into this rule of thumb. For every renewal and every new tenant, you should be asking higher rent. You keep up this policy until your occupancy gets below 95%. Now you've found out what the market is willing to pay for rent in your building. You should now level off and hold it there until your occupancy climbs above 95%, at which time you start the process again. Myth number two, you need experience with the smaller deal. The so-called experts tell you to get experience with small properties first. Only then should you graduate to larger ones. The true risk is in listening to misinformed amateurs, typically a relative or one's barber, who seem to advise going into smaller deals with more of your own money as a down payment until you're talked out of investing in real estate altogether.